Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to our lifestyle podcast, Friends with a Twist. I'm Kenzie. I'm exploring this ethically non-monogamous lifestyle with my husband, Gary.
I'm Madison, and I've been having swinging fun with my husband, Barry, for 10 plus years.
We are best friends, but we also have a twist.
We like finding friends who are sexually confident and free, just like us.
Join us as we discuss and share stories, tips, and husbands.
This podcast will contain sexually explicit material. If you are under 18, we are not the friends for you. Find a new podcast.
Hey friends, welcome back for episode 76. How you been? What's new? What's going on? Here we are. Kenzie.
Hey.
And
hey, I'm Madison. Nice to see you here.
Hey there. So, episode 76. You know we have this kind of new format. Today we're coming at you with a Life in the Lifestyle episode where we are going to discuss some of the parallels between gambling and swinging. Ooh. And why it keeps us coming back for more.
The addictive lifestyle.
Then we are going to cash it out with a going deep segment and hear a fiery foursome story from Madison, which she teased us in last episode. Mm-hmm. So I hope you're listening in chronological order or you're going to be fucked. Not really, but...
Okay. Before we get going, fireball shot to start the shit show off.
Oh, of course. Well, how else could we possibly do it without the power of the ball?
Ah, we need the fire. You're the fire horse. Okay. Mm.
That was a lot. Gary gave me like a double.
Good luck with this episode.
Oh.
All right. So yeah, this episode's speaking of the topic, gambling and swinging. How are they parallel? How are they similar? I don't fucking know. This was your idea, Kenzie. It's great. I don't really know what the fuck we're talking about. So I'm going to let you lead it and I'm going to chime in with some real life situations I've experienced.
Yes.
But this is great. It's going to be so good. So Kenzie, take it away.
Okay, so friends, hear me out. Have you ever thought about how swinging is like gambling?
No.
No, nobody has. Just fucking Kenzie. I get it. But think about it. How swinging keeps you coming back for more.
True.
How it entices you to balance risk with reward.
Oh, yeah.
How it takes you to some shady places.
Fuck yeah.
All right. So that's what we're going to explore. So you're going to have to allow me to nerd out for just a little bit here. Why is swinging so engrossing and irresistible and magnetic? My answer for you, friends, is behavioral psychology. When did you ever fucking think you were going to hear that in a swinging context? I got you.
This is great.
All right. So... in behavioral psychology, there are things known as reinforcers. And a reinforcer is anything that increases the frequency of a response. So, for example, going to one fun party makes you want to go to more parties because you're associating that with the fun that you had at the last one.
That makes sense.
There's no guarantee that there's gonna be fun.
It's a gamble.
But you're gambling and you're hoping that there's gonna be more fun at the next one.
But really, yeah.
Okay. But you don't know.
Wait, were you a psychology major?
Oh, I might have been.
It all makes sense now.
Secrets out.
Okay, I'm following. Keep going.
Nerd level 2. There are things known as schedules of reinforcement.
Oh.
This is the rate or interval at which responses are reinforced.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah.
No, everyone's like, I'm shutting this shit off right now.
No, I get it. Keep going.
Okay. So, in this realm that nobody fucking gives a shit about, there are four schedules of reinforcement.
Okay.
But swinging tends to fall into a variable ratio schedule, just like gambling.
I feel like that makes sense. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Variable ratio. This is when you get reinforced after a varying number of responses.
It's random. Your good times are random.
You never quite know when you're going to get lucky.
I get it.
Exactly.
Literally lucky. I get it. This is
you
fun.
You are in it to win it.
Keep going.
Okay. For what it's worth, the other three schedules of reinforcement have a much more predictable reinforcement situation. We don't care about those right now.
Boring. Okay, skip it.
We are on this variable ratio. You never know when you're going to get lucky.
That's like every lifestyle date. Like,
yes.
But we were both ghosted, like a week or two
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
We thought we had a shoe-in, but nope.
And then no. Okay. Exactly. Okay.
But what? I guess we're going to get into like, why do we keep going back for more? Is
right.
That, we'll hold off on that.
Why okay. does this matter? Yeah. Okay. Yes. What the fuck are you talking about, Kenzie?
Yes.
Yes. So here's why this matters and applies here to swinging. This variable ratio schedule leads to several things. One, it leads to a high response rate. For example, the next couple could be the winner. You want to keep going out. You want to keep meeting people because you don't know what that schedule is.
Or FOMO. If you yes, don't do it, you miss out.
You don't know when that next reinforcement is going to come. When is that next good experience going to be?
It.
So it keeps you going. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, this also ties in to my whole nerdness. There's something called resistance to extinction. You get used to those quote-unquote dry spells. So you keep checking the apps. You keep mm-hmm. checking the sites. You keep going to parties. You keep trying to meet people. Even after you've had a few losses, if you will. Because you don't know when the next win is going to come. So you keep trying because you think... this could be the one. This could be the one. This could be the one.
That's so true.
So it keeps you going.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Cool.
Tracking.
Okay. Last nerdy thing. This also applies because there's a lack of post-enforcement pause. So there's no dip in activity because the next reward might happen immediately. So again, you have three bad parties in a row, but then that fourth one, you fucking hit the jackpot and you meet that cool couple.
Okay.
So like you don't know when that's coming. So it keeps you trying and trying and trying and trying mm-hmm. for that quote unquote win.
The big money.
Mm-hmm.
Shot.
So my question for you, Madison.
You fucking love this.
Now that I dropped all my nerdness on you.
Oh, okay.
Does this all go back to like that high that you get from a good experience and wanting to get more of that?
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, can you see that in your own lifestyle experience at all?
It does make sense. Disregard current parties that we're playing with, like just people we've met in the past and having a really good experience after good experience. Good experiences or not good experiences, you have that great time and then you want that again with your partner because the high from it and that connection you had again, so you keep going after it. It does make sense.
All right. All right. We're on a good start then.
It's like, yes, let me continue.
Okay. We're getting somewhere. So my next thought in all of this, you're going to have some risk versus reward in the lifestyle. When you're considering the stakes or the risks, you don't want to bet more than you can afford to lose. For example, the bust, the total loss.
Oh.
If you're spending a significant amount of money on outfits and travel and club fees, only to have a boring night where you don't connect with anyone.
Oh my God, yes.
Bust. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, but we've all had that.
I know. And honestly, like, I feel like to some extent, that's kind of what I was talking about in our last episode with the takeover, the hotel takeover that we went to. But do you have
yeah
an example?
Yeah, probably a couple. But honestly, a couple years prior to that, on New Year's Eve, we all four went to a friction party out of state, like 8 hours travel, planned a whole weekend away, our outfits and everything, the gas, the alcohol, and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Great to see a few friends, but that was really it. Like, we didn't make any other significant connections. And I'm like, I can party in a fucking hotel 30 minutes from my house. Same exact fucking thing. So that was a bust, ultimately, for me. So I get it.
Yeah, there's that. I think another really big factor for a lot of us in terms of, like, the stakes and the risks is the risk of being outed in your professional or vanilla life. Definitely the ultimate high stakes gamble where your reputation is on the line. I know that for some people, they have a life and a situation and a profession, etc., where that is not, I don't know.
Not a worry.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they can afford that risk. Mm-hmm. And there are those of us, such as Fwat, that cannot afford that risk. Hence the anonymity. So that is something to be taken into consideration with all of this, that there are going to be those risks. Also, you never know when you're going to be dealt a bad hand. For example, a physical risk, such as STIs. There's also the physical risk of something like somebody who doesn't respect your boundaries.
Yeah.
You could get into a sticky situation there. I will say I feel like that's relatively rare in the lifestyle. But again, within the realm of possibility, it certainly could happen. And then something that I think both of us have talked about, awkwardness and social friction. It's always possible that you might have to navigate some level of rejection or just like a kind of a mismatch where maybe like you're not a great fit with the people that you thought you were going to mesh with.
Yeah, I feel like Barry and I have definitely had to figure out how to turn people down or even just through messaging, like casually fade off and like ghost people.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's awkward to put like put face to face with people. It's easier to just kind of disregard it and let people go. We get ghosted all the time, so I know everyone fucking does it.
It but happens.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you.
But on the other side of the coin, you've got the payout and the rewards.
Yes.
When you hit the jackpot, to speak.
Woo! Sorry, I got really into that. Sorry.
So you've got the big win, your peak experiences, when that rare, perfect night, you meet your people, everything clicks. This is the jackpot that fuels my variable ratio schedule I talked about earlier.
That is what we all keep
this
going for.
This is what keeps us going.
It makes sense. Holy shit. I get it now.
This is what you're striving for, and you never know when you're going to hit.
So you keep going.
So you keep going.
Yep. Okay.
So, like, maybe you reach high roller status.
Oh.
You get that boost in confidence like you had on our last episode.
Yeah.
You get that boost in self-esteem and confidence. You're desired by others. You're, like, navigating that social scene where, like, you know people want you.
Like, you're in control, but you say what you mean.
Have the power. Yeah.
I like that.
See? You get it. You get it, Madison. Okay. You can also have the double down.
Oh.
Relationship bonding.
Oh.
So when you're having an experience that brings you and your partner closer, which I think also
isn't
fits.
Isn't that the ultimate, like,
yes, that's high? What we're all striving for.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not just playing alone.
Mm-hmm.
You're a team at the table. And a win for one is a win for both. So again, kind of similar to last episode in your story.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
I kept saying to Barry, I was like, it's just us. It's just
us. Just us. Just putting on a show for everybody.
But it's a win for everybody.
And everybody wins. Exactly.
Ooh.
And then I think tied to that, the endorphin rush.
Mm-hmm.
So that physiological payday of dopamine and oxytocin that comes from novelty and physical connection. You're doing something new. You're connecting with your partner in a fun, novel way. And boom, the hormones are firing. Everything feels good. You're on fire. You're amazing. Having a good time. That's the win.
Also, plug for Shameless, they do have an oxytocin spray that you can order from them. We do have an affiliate link to aid in this. But anyway, yes, that boost,
so you know,
that rash is amazing.
Do it. I highly recommend.
So far, so good. Are we following? Everybody's good out there?
Following way more than I thought I did.
I hope. Okay.
Through the notes.
All right, friends. So the next piece of this puzzle, how swinging is like gambling. The casino effect. You're going to stumble upon some shady places.
Oh my God. Like every lifestyle club we've been to. They're so random.
So both casinos and swing clubs, I would argue, are designed to keep you in the zone. They each have their own zone, but hear me out.
How so? Yeah.
You get some sensory deprivation. Neither a swing club nor a casino have windows.
Oh my God.
They don't have clocks.
Except for the one near us, but yes. For the most part, they don't have clocks.
Where does he have a window?
Right behind them. No, a clock.
Oh.
But the windows. Oh, my God. You're freaking me out, though, saying this stuff. I'm kind of freaked out now. Carry on.
All right. Typically,
shit.
No windows, no clocks. Mm-hmm. So it creates this sense of timelessness.
Oh, my God. It's kind of creepy.
So, like, you don't even know where you are in time and space. You don't even realize that it's 3 a.m. already. You agree to go to the playroom with some rando couple because you still think it's 11 o'clock.
I feel like I'm in Interstellar and I'm in the fucking fifth dimension. I fucking love that movie, but I'm scared now.
Well, it fucking happens. I just want you to know what you're happening. What's
happening.
No,
it's true, though. You lose track of time and place. Yeah.
And it's on
mostly
purpose.
Time.
Yes. Okay. So the atmosphere itself. There's typically dim lighting.
Oh, my God. Yes.
There's
everywhere.
Loud music.
Usually.
It's not just for vibes. That all lowers inhibitions and keeps you focused on the immediate environment, much like the lights and sounds of a casino floor.
Sorry, I'm just going to interject here. Last episode where I talked about Barry and I playing at a lifestyle club, it's so fucking dark in there. I was taking a video of Barry and I playing and like... You could see us when, like, the TV was lit up or, like, something from my phone was showing light. But it is so dark in there. And normally I'm like, whatever, it's fine. But I'm thinking back to how many times that could have altered my judgment in how – it could also be the alcohol. But, like, how great I thought people looked or how great I thought the club was. But really, I just couldn't fucking see half of the shit. But, like, there's a purpose to it, with casinos. Like, it's so fun and mysterious because of all the... Oh, my God. This is creeping me out now.
Well,
Carry on.
All right. So, another couple parallels. Casinos and swing clubs may be located in random places without much else around. I know
it gets scarier.
I know. I mean, thinking about like the few clubs that we typically frequent, I kind of feel like that fits.
Majority. Yeah. East to West Coast. Half of them. This is how they are.
Like they're in rando. And I mean, I know like some of that is probably more so indicative of local.
Just regulations and stuff.
Like zoning and like what, like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But they're just often in fucking weirdo places. So be prepared for that. Casinos and swing clubs may allow smoking. Not all, but may. Drinking is often involved in both. And I would say that also just in general, like the whole vibe and the whole environment of both casinos and lifestyle clubs, often very different from your everyday life.
Yeah, so it's just like an alternate universe.
Just like, yeah, taking you away from like the normal and like kind of the comfortable.
Kind of like on purpose, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
All right. Next parallel. Think about bankroll management.
I don't know.
So your emotional bankroll, how much rejection or boredom can your relationship afford before you need to take a break?
Oh.
So you go to these parties, you go to this, that, the other thing, because you're seeking that high. You're seeking that win, if you will. But how much can you take? Like how many misses?
If you don't win?
Yeah. How many losses in a row before you're like, what the fuck is this?
Well, I feel like we've said how the lifestyle is such a roller coaster.
Oh, absolutely.
But I can definitely count at least on one hand how many times we've had lulls or dead stretches. And I'm like, I don't want to put in effort to this anymore. I don't want to fucking do this anymore. Like, what am I getting out of this? Can we stop putting in effort to this?
Yeah.
So I guess that is more common than I've ever thought about. Yeah. I didn't think about it in that way as like an emotional bankroll, but
It happens.
I've been there.
Me too. So my advice, dear listener.
Dearest gentle reader.
Dearest gentle listener.
Sorry, Bridgerton side note. Anyway, carry on.
Dearest gentle listener, you need to set limits. Just like a smart gambler sets a loss limit, successful swingers often set boundaries and have check-in times to ensure the risk doesn't outweigh the reward. We only have so much time, money, energy, all of it, to invest in this frivolousness.
Preach.
Yes. And especially, obviously you're listening to Madison and I talk about, like, we did this and we went here and blah, 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 and we're so fun. And we kind of,
yeah.
We kind of are, but not all the time. but many couples can only...
Oh, like once a year or once a vacation is when they can swing. Yes. Oh my God, that's so common.
And then like,
we're blessed.
We are.
For all the things we can fucking do.
But like the stakes are higher for like if you have to go travel to swing.
Like that's a lot of pressure to make it happen.
All the pressure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's tough.
All right, everybody, is anybody still listening?
Yeah, this is the final section. Take us home, Kenzie. Okay, I really like this.
So, swinging, gambling, parallels. Know when to fold.
Oh.
You got to protect now your relationship bankroll. So, in gambling, there is something known as the stop-loss limit.
Okay.
This is the amount you're willing to lose before you walk away.
Oh.
Aha.
Oh my God, how does that apply to swinging?
In the lifestyle, these are your hard limits.
Oh, that's easier than I thought. Okay. Yeah.
If a situation crosses a line, like a specific act, a lack of consent, whatever it is, you fold immediately, no matter how much time or money you've invested.
That does make sense.
You're done. This is it. You stop.
You and your partner should be on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That makes sense.
All right. Easy peasy, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, this next one, it's a little more psychological.
Oh, fuck.
You want to avoid the sunk cost fallacy.
What?
Yeah. This.
Give me more.
This is the psychological trap of staying in a bad situation because, I already spent the money on the hotel. God. Oh, I already drove 2 hours to get here.
Yes.
Oh, I already did this. I already did that. I bought this. I spent that. No. False. Let it go. Walking away mid-party with your partner is a win for the relationship, even if it's a loss for the night.
Shit. That's so true.
Yeah.
What? I didn't know it was a sunk cost fallacy.
Well, now you know, bitch. What is educational and entertaining?
I only said that perfectly because it's in the notes. But seriously, that makes sense. Like, there's been several times, like years ago, like that I've played just to please others because we were already there and in the moment. Or just, honestly, I'm sorry. I always said I wouldn't do it, but just to have a story to tell for the podcast, like, I got to get out and do something. Like, I've already spent the money to go to this party. I got to get something out of it. Is that like exactly kind of what you're talking about? It's not like an abusive relationship, but it's almost like you're in this, I don't want to take it that deep, but it's like you're in this bad situation that you're just doing something to continue it because you're already there.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, a lot of people fucking do that, I'm sure. Have you?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Last episode, I talked about Gary and I went to a PGC First Friday event.
Yeah.
Even though we know that those are not usually our favorite events, we had a reason for going. We were going to meet friends there. But We were in this kind of like not ideal situation. We were trying to make the best of it because, again, like we're already here. Like, let's just make the best of it. Mm-hmm. But eventually, mm-hmm. like, we just had to like break that cycle and kind of call it and like, all right, we got
to
go home.
At least you know to do that now.
We're not getting anything out of this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, again, like, if you're someone new to the lifestyle, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Like, when you recognize that this is not going anywhere.
It can be hard to do, though.
It is hard. It is difficult to do. I will give you that. But
yeah,
if you can see it and if you can make that step, you'll be better off, I think, 9 times out of 10. Just call it. Okay. So that was like a lot of nerding out on my part. So I appreciate everyone who has lasted this long and humored me in my little idea here about how swinging is like gambling. So let me try to put a bow on this and wrap it all the fuck up so we can get to the good stuff of Madison's sexy story.
Sure.
All right. The goal of a professional gambler isn't to win every hand. It's to stay in the game as long as possible. In the lifestyle, your relationship is the bank. If you lose that, you've lost everything. So play smart, watch the clock, and know exactly when it's time to walk away from a losing situation.
This was super intriguing, I just like to add.
Mic drop, friends. That's all I got for you. Thank you for hanging in there with me and entertaining my idea to pull this all together. But now we're going to fucking sex it the fuck up with Madison's story in just a hot second after we hear from our partner.
We're excited to be partnering with Shivers and Love Your Alternative Wellness for Women to offer our listeners exposure to hemp-based gummies for all of your daily and sexual needs. Shivers offers a female and male line of THC-derived gummies to help increase your sensuality, euphoria, and sensitivity at playtime. Shivers also has a women-focused, women-derived line of gummies called Love Your Alternative Wellness. These gummies include Hustle to help increase energy and focus without all of those jittery effects, Slumber to help you obtain fulfilling beauty rest, and Libido, which are their sexual goddess gummies to help boost your sexuality, increase sensation, and intensify your climax during play. Libido has minimal amounts of hemp-derived THC and CBD, so it's a great option for those who are sensitive to THC, as 3 of the Libido gummies would actually equal 1 of the female Shivers gummies. Visit shivers.store to make your purchase and enter code FWAT for 10% off your order. Link in show notes and on our website. All right, so thank you, Kenzie. That was actually way more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. I'm just being honest. But it actually makes a lot of fucking sense, everything you broke down.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Seriously. So thank you.
But now we're going to turn the heat up to 1,000 with Madison's sexy story.
No pressure.
I just know it's going to be amazing.
I hope so. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. If you listen to episode 75, which you should have first, I mentioned that Barry and I went to dinner with our good friends, Eric and Samantha. Once again, we just have this surprising good connection with them. Ask me a year ago, because we knew them, we've known them for a couple years, and if you would have asked me this, I would have been like, no, probably not our people. I didn't see it until I got to know them, and they were actually way more compatible than we had thought they would ever be. So here we are, we hung out with them again, and as I said last episode, the fellas had premeditated plans to get vibrators for her and I to put in our pussies to enjoy our dinner and drinks ahead of playtime. So honestly, the vibrators really did help to set the mood and begin the foreplay. Although honestly, we probably didn't even need it because we just have this like sexual attraction with each other.
Nice.
So in case you haven't heard prior episodes, let me just very briefly describe them. Eric is... well, not that everybody knows me either, but kind of around my height. I'm like 5'8 or 5'9-ish. Muscular build, bald head, thick cock. Not that everyone would see that anyway. personality is a fucking gem. Super friendly, caring, thoughtful, but also super sexy too.
Yeah.
She is this petite fucking bombshell, brunette, pierced nipples, round peach ass, like super friendly person that at first I thought was not sincere. And I've told her this a million times. But no, it really actually is sincere. Like, she's really just that good of a person. So beyond the physical, there's that whole emotional sort of connection with them. Like, we appreciate them as people. So anyway, there's the background. So yeah, we went to dinner. There were vibrators in our pussies. It was awkward, funny, weird, sexy, fun. Mm-hmm. So we got back to our hotel. And again, we had adjoining hotel rooms for the night. We mainly played in their room and liked it sexy time in their room because Barry and I brought our lovely little dog and we mainly kept her in our room. So we got back, we went to their room. Us ladies put on matching fishnet bodysuits that it was like a bodysuit halter top. So halter top went all the way down to the toes, but like a fishnet bodysuit, full on body, bodysuit, crotchless.
Oh,
halter top.
This feels complicated.
There's a lot of things, but it's not that hard. It's not that difficult.
Okay.
So again, no sleeves, but fishnet body stocking elsewhere, all over. It's fun with this couple. We're so close with them at this point that when like I buy fun lingerie, like we buy a second one for her and vice versa. So we both brought different lingerie, but Barry and I had purposely bought a few outfits in case she might want to match me. I think that's a girl thing. In general, we like to match each other. I feel like we've done that a lot in the past, too. Mm-hmm. So that was just fun. And honestly, regardless of the scenario, I feel like there's something so hot about a nice round butt bouncing around covered in fishnets.
Yeah. I can't argue with that.
And yeah, I will die on that statement. Anyway. So I think I mentioned it, but again, this bodysuit was crotchless, so we could still fuck each other with the bodysuit on without having to rip anything aside, which is very fun. So at this point, we're back in the hotel room. The men had taken off their pants and were unbuttoning their dress shirts, and both cocks were already hard. Like, we literally haven't even done anything to them yet. But her and I had taken turns sucking on the opposite partner's cock for a minute or two, just while kneeling on the floor.
Where are the vibrators? Are they still inside both of you?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I left that part out.
Come on, Madison.
Honestly, at the dinner casino thing we were at, I went to the bathroom and like I just couldn't pee normally with my nin. So I pushed it out. And
you
then
cheater.
Then my body, it was after dinner, but my body like rejected it and I couldn't get it back in. So I was like, I'm sorry, guys,
you
failed.
You left Samantha on her own with the other one in?
Yeah. Yep. And I didn't really feel bad about it.
I mean, I know. She's a trooper. She can handle it, but wow.
I couldn't pee. It was hard. So I took it out and I was like, I'm sitting on the toilet. It was just not the right angle to put it back in. So mine was fully out. Hers was in back until the
room. Is it just like in your purse now?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Literally open my clutch. First thing you see, vibrator. Pink. Hot pink.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, you know, when we got back and we put on the matching fishnet bodysuits, her.
Wait, I want a fistnet now.
It's a fistnet. Fist up the ass. No, we didn't do that. I promise. Not yet. I
don't know. Coming next episode.
I hope not. No, fish. Fish net.
Okay.
Hers was out by then. I don't know what she did with it, but all the vibrators were gone.
Okay.
We were done with it.
Fine.
We were in our fishnets and we were just ready to fuck. we were down on our knees. We're matching outfits. The guys still had their dress shirts on, just open, but
are underwear they wearing?
Yes. Because I wanted them to. It's so hot seeing men in like cute. Dress like shirts. It. Yeah, yeah. It was sexy seeing that. So I liked it. I was like, leave your shirts on. It's hot. I said, wait. We're all comfortable with each other. I was like, can we just please take turns being double teamed by each of the men? I was like, personally, I really want this. So would it be okay
if we just
alternate doing this? And yeah, it worked out. So I don't think I would just say that with new play partners, but because we know them and I know we have similar play styles and as far as we would go with each other, like I figured it was worth offering up because I think it would be okay. And yeah. I wanted a little two guys on me, and I wanted her to take a couple pictures for my own pleasure. So she did. So anyway, first though, I let her go. So Samantha kneeled on the bed. We really seriously went right to it. Like Barry slid his cock inside her from behind. So she's on her knees on the bed. And then Eric put his cock in her mouth, and I just sat by smiling, like happily watching the hotness in front of me, honestly, probably creepily. Like I was the person at the lifestyle club watching Barry and I, like I was laying there like touching myself like those guys did watching me and Barry. Yeah. So I get it.
Karma, it's fine.
Yeah.
It all comes around.
Yeah. Playing with my little wet pussy there, just watching the hotness. I'm like, oh, I initiated this. But then I was like, wait. I initiated this. Like, I wanted to. So it was my turn. And then I assumed the same fucking position. I got on my hands and knees. And Eric fucked me from behind. And I took Barry's cock in my mouth. And Samantha seemed to really enjoy the show also because she was smiley. And, like, she was occasionally rubbing her hand on my back, like, teasing my hair. I was, like, begging her to pull it a little bit. It just because... all the sensations, I think, are important when you're fucking people. Like the indeed. Touch, sound, taste, hear, all of it. So,
oh, yeah.
I wanted that. And then we were all just, all of us, so hot and bothered at that point. We honestly went right into having both ladies lay down on our backs on the bed. And then the opposite guy, so we switched partners, but so the opposite partner was fucking us from the top. So we had these strong, sexy, hot men on top of us. We're in our crotchless fishnet bodysuits on the bed, fucking legs spread in the air. Like, I wish I could have recorded it. In my mind, I did. But I wish I could have recorded it for everybody. It was just fucking hot. Like, just being dominated in general is fun. But when you're looking over and seeing your partner do it to someone else, I don't always get turned on by that. But in certain very comfortable situations... I assume you feel the same. Like if you're comfortable with people and you see your partner pleasing someone else, it's hot. If you're a little uneasy about it and you see your partner doing that, maybe you're a little unsure. But I was very comfortable, so I was turned on by all of it.
Excellent.
We did this for a while, and then each partner kind of went into their own groove. So I kind of lost track of what they were doing. I was more so focused on what I was doing with Eric, but... the females I know were on top for a bit. I definitely was bent over because I love taking it from behind. We even took a break, which we do a lot because we go for hours. That sounds crazy. But I think it's because like we have a lot of foreplay and then we do some things and we take a break, have a shot, take a drink. We even took a fruit break. We took a break and had some fresh fruit. It sounds fucking nuts, but I highly fucking recommend if you're going for a while, having some watermelon or some grapes or blueberries, it's very refreshing in the middle of sex. I swear to God, it was fucking perfect. And we were just talking about like the fun we were having. We took a little breather. And then her and I, we changed into some other lingerie, pretty close to matching, but not a full-on bodysuit. It was more like a teddy type of thing, strappy thing. We stood at the edge of the bed. Her and I started to make out a little bit. And then we were like, fuck this. We got fully naked. We took the other partner and we fucked some more. Positions, I couldn't even tell you because it was a fucking blur. Like, I honestly lost track. The crazy thing is, I feel like this is crazy. But after everything was said and done with them, I don't know. It was like 3-4 in the morning. Neither guy had come. I don't, props to fucking them. I don't know how they had done it.
Wow.
But Barry and I then went back to our room. Honestly, it was like 5:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
I was like, Barry, this is just so fun. I just love everything. Do you want to come? Just come in my mouth. Yeah. Like I was just so hyped up by everything. Barry and I fucked for a little bit. Barry came in my mouth and we went to bed and like... I was like, what? It was like 5:30 in the morning. We went to bed and I was like, when can we get together to do this again? Not the norm. That is not what you should expect when you're a swinger. I'm just going to say we've been in this, 15 years or something? And now this is our norm with a very specific couple. Like, this is not something you should expect for the most part. Typical play scenarios for us are an hour or two. It's super fun. we go our separate ways, but I don't know. Whatever it is, this connection with this couple, we either take breaks throughout the play or we finish play and we like lay there kind of cuddling, all staring up at our ceiling, talking about like how fun everything was. And I guess my takeaway, besides the fact that sex is great, is that you will randomly find your people, I think. Like, we found you as our people, and it was a random hot fucking date, and we had this deep connection that was very unexpected, and we've been friends for how fucking long now?
Yeah.
And now this couple, very unexpected. We've had this sexual connection that was very deep, and it's growing more than I thought I'd be comfortable with other people. Not to the point, like, I think we're polyamorous or anything, but just... I don't know, very more dedicated to a couple than I ever wanted to be in the past. So, no, I don't have a takeaway message. It's my takeaway message.
Do you, like, and maybe you don't, and that's okay too, but, like, do you feel like you can articulate? Like, you've mentioned that you've known this couple for a long time, and then suddenly... It clicked.
Huh. It's like, boom, they're everything. Yeah, I get it.
Like, do you know what that... Can you attribute that shift to something? Or is it just, like, timing or happenstance? Or, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's just, like, the right time and place. And, like, yay! Yeah. Like, I mean, sometimes it's not, you know, it just fucking happens.
Yeah.
But, like, do you...
I think the only thing I could say is that... I pushed it off for so long from personal insecurities and uncertainties that we finally picked a date and we were just like, fine, let's just go try it. They were way more relaxed than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be that we were not good enough, or I just was not good enough for the grouping. And I was like, this isn't going to work out, but fine, let's go try. It was way nothing like that. It was a complete opposite. I felt very comfortable. They were actually nervous too. And then I think once I gave this couple an actual chance, I realized that I'm way more like both of them than I ever thought before, and so is Barry. So it was just, I think, the right timing, giving them a chance.
Yeah.
All of us giving each other a chance, because we all had insecurities amongst each other. And then we realized, no, we're actually all just normal fucking people. Like, get out of our heads. We can actually be normal friends, and... we're comfortable being sexy with each other.
Awesome.
I think that's just a one-off. You have, like, we all have that with individual couples. I don't think that's the majority of couples you meet at all. So,
right.
You're blessed or you're not. I don't know. Keep trying. You fucking gamble till you get the jackpot.
You're gonna gamble.
We hit the jackpot. And I forget all the other terms you use, but the stop loss, the fallacy, all the things we surpassed.
You won. You're winning. You're winning. It's fine.
And we're going to keep gambling, but we've won.
Amazing.
That's my takeaway.
So there you go, friends. You just got to keep plugging away. You got to try.
Pull that lever.
Pull the lever. Yes. All right. So thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We're going to wrap this up, and you will hear from us again in just a couple weeks, because we have these new, fun, shorter episodes. So thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed. You know how to connect with us.
Oh, and for anybody who could join us in Miami, we will be at the Libertine event at the end of May.
Yes, Memorial Day weekend.
I think it's already
sold out.
Yes.
Sorry. But if you're going to be there, we're going to see you, and it's going to be amazing.
Cannot wait.
Woo! So, thank you for that. Otherwise, we will catch you on the next episode. And until then, friends, get out there and find your twist.
Oh, yeah.